Peace to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last Lord's Day, we touch on the carnal man. It is the same man that we are continuing our study. It is none other than Samson, a man who is very well known even to some unbelievers because of the Hollywood movies. Samson has always been reputed to be a man with super strength, but our focus is not so much on the physical, but the spiritual aspect of this account of Samson's life. Judges chapter 14, verse 10 to verse 20 will be our focus, as mentioned by the chairman earlier. It is a continuation of Samson's request. He asked for a wife from his parents. The parents told him, "Why can't you get a daughter of your brethren or among all my people? Why can't you find one from your own tribe? If not from your own tribe of Dan, why not from the rest of Israel? Do you really need to go across into Philistine territory to find a wife of a totally different faith?" It is not just the Philistine that was the problem. We know that at the end of the book of Judges, there will be an account of a young lady by the name of Ruth. She was from Moabite. She was a Moabitess. She was from the land of Moab. The issue was not different nationality. The issue was different faith. That was the problem with Samson's request. And so that's where we stopped the last week. He insisted on finding a wife from the Philistine territory. The reason was he liked her. He had seen her and he liked her and he wanted her. And so he used two very strong words. "Get her for me." That's it. Get her for me. And as an adult, he couldn't care less. And so what we have in chapter 14, verse 10, the account of not only a carnal man, but this account describes a foolish man. What exactly is a foolish man? Are you a foolish man? We all have made foolish decisions in life before. But there are certain decisions in your life and in my life that will probably be considered the height of folly, because these decisions have lifelong impact. That the moment you made them, no matter how hard you may regret it, no matter how hard you may wish and hope and hope and hope, it is wishful thinking, it will never be changed. It is done. Time and time again, foolish acts, foolish deeds, foolish words are done, are spoken. A man tried to be funny, put two cups, asking people to vote. Have you read it on the internet a few days ago? It's about the Malaysian airline. What happened to the plane? One cup, the plane is still flying, another cup with the tail of the plane sticking out. Someone took a picture of that, put it on his internet account. And within a short while, it went all over. The boss of this man found out, he was sacked. To no end, people just won't learn. Foolish acts. Here we have an account of an act that is very similar. Be very wary and careful of our own foolishness. Just because we are believers does not mean that we will not act foolishly at times. We will try our utmost not to. We will try our best to avoid foolishness, to make foolhardy decisions. But sadly, sometimes we think we know better. We think we know better than whom? We think we know better than God. And because we think that we are smarter than God, we know better than God, thinking that, well, what God says cannot happen to me. I'm better, I'm stronger, I'm different. And so we went head on toward that pathway. And then we realized that we are no different. God's word is never wrong when he warns us about foolishness. God recorded this account of Samson's life. There's so many other judges whose names are just simply mentioned. That's it. What they did, we are not told. They came, they were judges for so long, and then it was all over. But God had decided in his infinite wisdom to record the life of this man, Samson. This was not recorded to tickle our ears. This was recorded to warn us. He was strong physically, extremely strong. And that perhaps went to his head. He had supernatural strength. He knew it. How could a man just simply kill the lion with just his bare hands? Tore him up as if his muscles were like paper. Nothing. He was filled with strength and energy. Like many of our young men today, thinking that they can never die. They can run the 2.4 kilometers set for them by the National Service in less than 10 minutes. Super strong, super fast, invincible. You can do so many chin-ups, so many sit-ups, as if you are never going to get hurt. Samson was 100 times better. And so, 100 times more arrogant, 100 times more self-assured, and that's what we are going to see. Such a man, how foolish he was. Verse 10 to verse 11, first thing to note. Foolish commitment. He had been told by father and mother, he just rebuffed his own parents. He didn't care. He insisted, I want my way. Was it a fault of Samson alone? Sadly, it was not. As you can see from chapter 14, verse 10, how did verse 10 begin? Who got the woman for him? It was still within the protocol, the culture in those days. The parent will ask for the hand in marriage from the other parent, albeit a Philistine parent. So his father went down unto the woman. Even though the father said, please, find a wife from within our own. He should have stood his ground. He should not have accompanied his son, because he knew that what his son wanted was wrong. But it was the period of judges. Everyone will do what is right in his own eyes. And here you have a strong son who desires to do what was right in his own eyes, and so you have the father. What are you going to do as a father? Are you going to remain as a father? Are you going to capitulate and surrender your role as a father? What is the role of a father? Do you know what is the role of a father? Do you know the role of a parent? Yesterday morning, before we had our final meeting, before we returned back to Singapore, we were having our breakfast in this hotel. And so there was this young parent, the father and the mother were there. The boy was maybe about 4 or 5 years old, seated on this chair, high chair, and placed in front of him while the parents were eating the breakfast was a little gadget. You know what those gadgets are. Something like an iPad, slightly smaller. And then there was a little movie on to keep him busy. The mother was eating her breakfast deliciously. And then there were two little pal in front. Asked the boy, do you want a pal? No. The mother put back. And then the mother kept on stuffing her face with food. Then the husband came along with another plate pal high, his own breakfast. And so both of them were happy chit-chatting, gouging down their breakfast, while the boy was not eating anything, eyes glued. Ask him again, do you want to eat something? No. Kept on watching. Who was the parent? Was the boy the parent to the two of them or the children? You ask the boy want to eat or not want to eat. How would he know? You tell him you eat, shut the thing down, start eating. Period. Simple. Such a simple act. Who is the parent? Child telling parents what to do. Now the child become the parents become the children. And so now when you have a child that is super strong, stronger than you, and now he's grown up, you want to tell him, marry only a woman of our same faith. No. Okay. So who do you want to marry? Somebody else of another faith. Okay. You do the same. Foolish commitment. So many people involved. The father and Samson. And the father just simply went along, followed him, crossed into Philistine territory, took all the trouble, and then approached and then got the woman for his son, knowing that it was not the right thing to do, and yet the father did it. Foolish commitment. Would you do the same, making foolish commitments? Young people, deliberately, knowingly, you are a Christian, you say. And then you purposely, deliberately go out of your way to find a non-Christian. When the Bible is abundantly clear, warning you, you cannot marry an unbeliever. We are not talking about two persons who were married as unbelievers, and then one party becomes a believer. The Bible did not say you divorce. That is not the scenario here. I'm not saying that Samson was a believer at this point in time. In my opinion, I don't believe he was. But he was part of the people of Israel. And the people of Israel had a very, very spiritual, high purpose entrusted to them by God, to be God's people, to be a nation that must demonstrate God's grace and God's mercy to a world that was dying in sin. Samson was supposed to tell them by the way that he lived, I am a people of God. But he couldn't care less. So I do not believe that he was a believer at this point in time, even though his name was mentioned as one of the men of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I believe he became a believer at the tail end of his life, when his eyes were blinded, when he was about to die. For the first time, he used the name Jehovah, God, as recorded for us in these few chapters of his life. But that does not give him the excuse, isn't it? You're still the people of Israel. Same for you, young people. I do not know whether you are a child of God or not. You may say you are, then please live as one. Don't date someone who is an unbeliever. Don't behave like an unbeliever like Samson in this account. This is not a game. Finding a life partner is one of the most important decisions in your whole life. Do you know that of all the human relationship on planet Earth, there is only one human relationship that God said to us, only till death do you part. And that is the husband-wife relationship. All other relationships, when you grow up, you will drift apart. Parent-child relationship, you will drift apart. The role of the parents is to bring the child up to adulthood, hoping that the child will become an adult and leave home and have a life of their own. But for husband and wife, only till death do you part. That's God's command. And anything else that tear your relationship asunder after marriage, other than death, will be a sin against God. And so while you are still single, you better be very mindful and careful to use the Holy Scriptures to guide your life in choosing a life partner. And don't think you are going to be smarter than God. For every example that you can cite, so and so, they were not believers, but then my friend I know who married him, or my friend who married her, they are now both believers and they are still happily married. For every such example, you're going to find 20 other examples that did not work out. Don't use examples to justify what you are doing, which is a sin against the clear teaching of Holy Scripture. And if you are truly born again, and you persist in that direction, please check your salvation, because that is a deliberate rebellious act against your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because this teaching is not from the church, it's not from any human being, it is from Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, whom you claim to have died on the cross for your sin, whom you claim at the point of your salvation, crying to Him to become your Lord and your Master, to take away all your sin, to save you from death and hell itself, so that you can have all your sins forgiven. And now, openly, out of clear-cut rebellion, you say to Him that I'm smarter than you. I want to do it my way. Check your salvation. This is not a game. Your life is at stake. And if you go ahead with it and you marry an unbeliever and then you have children, your children's life will also be in jeopardy. How are you going to come to church as a family if that unbelieving spouse suddenly says, I'm not interested in church yet. Why do you keep on coming to church? You want to go, you go. But leave our children home. What are you going to do? And then if the other party wants to bring their children up in the way of the world, what are you going to do? You're going to fight, you're going to quarrel to no end. And there is no divorce. You're going to live with it. For how long? Until the Lord calls you home. It is not a small matter. Make sure you do not make a foolish commitment. Business partnership is another problem. The person is an unbeliever, no partnership, period. No matter how enticing the deal might be, you better put a stop to it. Because your principle and your philosophy for the entire company will be worlds apart. You as a partner with an unbeliever, the direction that you want is Christian, he wants it non-Christian. He will have Christian principles, you will have Christian principles, he will have non-Christian principles. You follow the Bible, he follow his own book. His own book has no absolute. His own book, everything is relative. His book is, everyone will do what is right in his own eyes. Yours is, I will do everything that is right in my God's eyes. Be very, very mindful that you do not enter into a foolish commitment. And here the father did it for him because, that's it, because. What can we say? Afraid of his own son? Maybe. His son is so strong. He gave up. No point fighting with him. Whether I'm going to do it or not, he's going to do it anyway. If he wants to do it, let him do it himself. Don't you become an accomplice in his sin. If he chooses to marry an unbeliever, don't you go to the ROM and be there as the witness. Don't you dare lower your standard that God has set for you as a parent. And Samson made a feast. So now he's going to be very happy. It's a wedding feast, a wedding dinner. And so use the young man to do. That's what normally young people would do, right? And so he had a feast. Where? In Philistine territory, where the new wives, family members, and friends are located. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions, 30 friends of the family to be with him to celebrate. See this foolish commitment? From one step, now, big partying. You think that will be drinking? Remember the three guidelines for an obedient Nazarite? No cutting of your hair. The moment you sin, the moment you break any one of them, the procedure for restoration is to shave off all your hair. No cutting of hair, no touching of the fruit of the vine, and no touching of a dead, unclean body. Deliberately. Not allowed to. He has broken number one. Touching a dead body of an unclean animal when he went in to get the honey from the carcass of the lion. And now have a feast with Philistines, unbelievers, people who are there just to have a good time, And now all of them will, on the surface at least, be your buddies. They're going to be your friends. Let us eat and drink and be merry for the next 7 days. That's how long the entire wedding feast would be. It's nice, isn't it? To have a wedding dinner that will last 7 days. The bride and groom will go bankrupt at the end, of course, but all of us will have a wonderful time, isn't it? 7 long days of makan, 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 makan. How you wish, huh? Isn't it? 7 long days of feasting. He couldn't care. Couldn't care about one area of his life. Naturally, he couldn't care for the rest. Foolish commitment will sadly lead to foolish conduct. Foolish conduct. What do you think will happen when you're eating, when you're drinking, when you're feasting with strangers? Family friend. Whose family? The girl's family. He hasn't met them before. He means Samson. But while you're feasting, while you're partying, everybody is your buddy, isn't it? Everybody is just your friend. Let's drink. And so, he being the bridegroom, his conduct has to be number one. And so, behaving like the rest, he said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. Maybe that's what they also did as young men, having a party. What kind of riddle? Do you know the answer to that riddle? If ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets. The sheets there can be understood as shirts and 30 change of garments. 30 companions. So 1 versus 30, in other words. All 30 of you, me, Samson, alone. If you can figure out my riddle, every one of you will only lose one shirt, one garment. For me, I will lose 30. He was full of confidence that they will probably not be able to guess. 1 against 30, you see how arrogant he was? 1 against 30. I will challenge all of you, take you on. But if ye cannot declare it me, then you will give me 30 sheets for them, which is only one each. 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, well, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. Come on, let's take on the challenge. Carry on. They took him on. Look at the conduct. You're supposed to be what? A part of the people of Israel, people of God. You're supposed to exhibit and demonstrate grace and mercy. You're supposed to let them see Christ in your life. Not how great you are, how successful you are, how strong you are, how boastful you can be. He wanted people to see Samson, not Jesus Christ. That was his conduct. These 30 Philistines, they're all dying in sin. You marry an unbeliever. That unbeliever is dying in sin, you know that. How do you think the unbeliever will regard the Christ that you claim to be your Lord and Savior? If the believer comes to church because you insist that the unbeliever comes to church, the unbeliever will soon know about this Jesus Christ, at least head-wise. And then the unbeliever will feel this after the unbeliever tells you, I'm not going to be a Christian. I understand, but I just don't want. And if you go ahead with the relationship, the unbeliever will now think, you say you love Jesus Christ, but then the Bible says you're not supposed to marry me. And now you're prepared to break his word to marry me. That means I am more important to you than Jesus Christ. So you have him as your Lord, but I am his Lord to you. Because you are prepared to break his word to obey my word. Isn't it? Isn't that the message? Is that the message you want to send to that unbelieving person? That Jesus Christ is second in your life. That this person that you are prepared to break the word of Christ for is more important to you than Christ. And you call this love. This is not love. How can this be love? Because the love that you're supposed to have as a child of God is called the love of God. And the love of God will never result in breaking God's word. So you're not loving him or her with the unconditional agape love that God has given to you as a Christian. You are loving her with the worldly kind of conditional love. Because, like Samson says, she looks good. Get her for me, I've seen her. We are compatible mentally. All the worldly carnal reasons. And you call that love. They are supposed to see Christ in you. Let's just say, if you are truly born again and you went ahead, do you know that you have just condemned this person to hell? If this person persists, next time another person shares Christianity with that person, the person will think of you. No, thank you. Oh, I know a Christian. He's my spouse. And that Christian is prepared to disobey his or her Lord, Jesus Christ, for me, you know? You know how important I am? And then when that person dies, that person will end up in hell. You know that. You call that love? For that few years on earth which you call marital bliss, let's say she or he is a very good spouse, and you are prepared to enjoy that few years of marital bliss with him or with her, knowing that at the end of this person's life, your life on this earth, this person will be in hell for eternity. And you deliberately go ahead with it, knowing this will be that person's end. And you say you love that person. What they needed from Samson is not his arrogant boast. I am challenging all 30 of you. What they needed was to see Christ. But he had nothing to show them. So from a foolish commitment to his foolish conduct. And then he said unto them, that's the riddle. Do you know the answer to the riddle? Out of the eater came forth meat. Who's the eater? Out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. So they cracked their head, they cracked their head, they cracked their head. After 3 long days, no answer. They could not find the answer. You know the answer, right? The answer was exactly what he did in the first 9 verses. The eater, the lion. The strong, that came forth sweetness. The honey. How he strong man killed the lion? Out of the carcass of the lion that was once upon a time an eater of other creatures, came out sweetness, the honey. Basically, the riddle was what he did. Basically, he was trying to use a riddle to describe, to cloak, to cover his own deed, how I tore the lion with my bare hands. It's about himself. What Samson did, he couched it in a riddle. Nobody is going to find his answer because he told nobody, he did not tell his parents, right? The first 9 verses, that's what he said to the wife who begged, 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 and begged. I didn't even tell my father and mother, you think I'm going to tell you? Verse 15, and it came to pass on the 7th day. Now, this 7th day is not the 7th day from the feast, all right? Otherwise, you'll be very confusing. What it means is, and it came to pass on the 7th day of the week. So that means it will be the Sabbath day. The first day of the week is Sunday. So 3 days had passed. Now, came to the 7th day. They could not find the answer. The 7th day of the week, the Sabbath day would be the 4th day of the feast. What did they do now? They're going to play cheat. They called the wife of Samson aside and said, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take what we have? Is it not so? What kind of companions are these? You look at them. What was the threat? The threat was not just breaking her arm or leg or something, isn't it? The threat was, we're going to burn you and your father's house with fire. What was the riddle all about? What was the consequence if they just could not figure out the riddle? What's the worst case scenario? They just lose a shirt and a garment each, that's all. That's all. But I cannot lose face to Samson. I cannot lose to Samson. He is not one of us. He is from the other side. Look at the behavior and conduct of these people. Wrong, foolish commitment. Wrong, foolish conduct. What do you think when you surround yourself with companions with this kind of character? You have the wrong friends. You make the wrong commitment with wrong people. You're going to garner all kinds of strange behavior from different strange people. You want these kind of people to be your friends? So violent? Can't find the answer to a riddle and you threaten a woman to burn her to death and to burn her entire family, her whole house as well? What kind of people would think that way? The Philistines. The Philistines. You think unbelievers are really, really wonderful people? They are very wonderful as long as it benefits them. Please don't forget what we were like when we were unbelievers, when the Bible described us as having a hardened heart, when the Bible described us as totally depraved. Please understand it is not just our inside, but also our outside, our outward behavior and conduct. Please understand this. There is some semblance of law and order and decency in our behavior and conduct that is because of the law that is in our country. You read the news in many countries where the law has collapsed. You read about the violence that is occurring in some parts of Africa. You read about the violence in the past. Please understand, those are not exceptions. Those are the description of your heart and my heart before salvation. That's what we are. That's what sin has done to us. Made in the image of God before the fall. After the fall, the image of God is marred so badly that all what we have is just only the external. If sin is not so bad, why do you think that God has to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us? A most shameful and humiliating death. That you and I who claim to be Christians would act foolishly. Please don't. You marry an unbeliever, it is not a something likely. You get yourself into any kind of a commitment with unbelievers, that kind of contract that will ruin your life. You're going to mix up with people. Their friends will also be part of the ruination, like in this case. Because he married the Philistine woman, and now you have the companions of the woman and the family, now at this feast, when he could have been God's people, up in your own country, with God's people where God is honored. And here you are now in a place where God is not honored, surrounded by people who are so violent and vicious, even to their own. She's their own people. And they will threaten her just to win a silly riddle. And Samson's wife was so scared and she wept before him. And so she used her tears. Now you and I know that men are so afraid of a woman's tears. Cry only. Okay, what do you want? The sun, I will pluck the sun down for you. Right when her husband said, the woman cried only. Okay. Correct? You better not be correct. Next time they cry, if it's wrong, just give them a box of tissue. That's it. What, you're going to surrender? Every time crying when you surrender, because that's what you're going to do for your children too? They throw tantrum. Okay, mommy, give it to you. You do that? They throw tantrum, you take out the rod of correction. You tantrum some more? One more stroke. What tantrum? So she wept. No tissue in those days. Right? You listen to her words. You don't love me. You see, you hate me. Thou dost but hate me. You lovest me not. Oh, you see? Oh, when the woman used these words, the husband's heart melts. You don't love me. You don't care for me. Buy me the ring, Abila, please, Abila. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me. You didn't tell me the answer. I didn't even tell my father. I didn't tell my mother. Why I tell you? I see the husband is also a problem. Then she wept before him the 7 days. Not the 7 days, the rest of the 7 days. So day four, day five, day six, down to day seven. So verse 17 means the rest of the 7 days. So she wept before him the rest of the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he could not tahan really. Wow, every day, you know. Fourth day. Fifth day. Some more. Sixth day. Some more. The seventh day. Okay. He gave up. Wore him down because she lay sore upon him and she told the riddle to the children of her people. You see, it's all over. And the man of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Now they purposely answer him in question form to disguise the fact that they have wormed it out of his wife. Instead of giving them a straight answer, like a sentence. We know the answer, this is it. They ask it in a question form. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? You know the answer. Samson knew that they found it out from his wife, and so he said this about them. If ye had not plowed my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. He has such a low regard for his wife now. He now finally realized how wanton his wife was. But it's too late, isn't it? That's why he described her as a heifer. That is not a very nice word to describe about your wife, isn't it? A heifer is a cow, isn't it? But what can you do now? You are married. And it's 7 days after your marriage. There is no break off now. What are you going to do? Foolish commitment, foolish conduct. With all sorts of foolish men. What a tragedy Samson is in now. What a sad, sad life. Please. If you are in this state, all you can do now is to pray and ask God for mercy. If you are not in this state, take all the necessary steps to avoid that you will never find yourself in such a state. First step, don't make foolish commitment. Then you can avoid foolish conduct. It begins with the first C. So that you will not have the second C as part of your life's experience. But now, Samson has become so deep in this. What can he do to extricate himself, to get out of it? They have found the answer. Now, doesn't matter. You didn't say, you cannot get it from the wife. You just boasted and bragged about this riddle. And now that they found the answer, within the 7 days that you gave to them, so what are you going to do now? Samson, you have now lost the riddle. Did you bring with you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garment? Don't have. He did not have any. Now what is he going to do? Where is he going to find 30 sheets and 30 change of garments? Take from people. But how to take? Kill them. Kill them. That's what he did. From killing a lion, now he's going to kill people. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil. He robbed. He killed and he robbed. But God seems to be on his side, isn't it? Because the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the Bible, please take note. When we became believers, the Bible says Jesus Christ baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit indwells us. After indwelling us, the Holy Spirit can fill us. So indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit are for believers only. Indwelling occurs only once in a lifetime. filling of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of service and living a holy life, and that is a repeatable experience which we all need to pray for constantly. But the phrase, the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord coming upon someone, if you do a Bible concordance search, you'll find that this same phrase is used also to describe the Spirit of God came upon Balaam. Now, Balaam was definitely not a believer. He was a false prophet. He was an evil prophet. But the Spirit of God also came upon him. Now, at this juncture, Samson was not a believer. And yet the Spirit of God came upon him. Because the Spirit of God can come upon believers and unbelievers alike as long as God's will is done. It does not mean anything more than just simply that. It does not mean that God condoned the action or behavior of that person that the Spirit of God came upon to do God's will. When the Spirit of God came upon Balaam, doesn't mean that God was in approval of Balaam's behavior and conduct as a terrible, evil, false prophet. Likewise here, do not misunderstand a phrase like this. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, it does not mean that God approved of what Samson did. Not at all. What it means is simply this. God is sovereign. God is all-powerful. That even in the case of the sinful, rebellious behavior and conduct of a man like Samson, of people like Balaam, God can still accomplish His will. But that does not excuse these individuals for the sins that they have committed against God. You and I, in other words, can never escape God's will. What it means is God has a desired will for you according to His Bible, that if you walk along this desired will, your life will be sweet and obedient and pleasing to Him. But if you choose to go another way, you enter into another aspect of God's will. It could be the punitive will of God, whereby God will punish you in the process. By the end of it, God can still use you to accomplish His will. Just as Judas Iscariot is never to be praised. Even though because of his sinful heart and his betrayal, which resulted in Christ's arrest, crucifixion and death, which brought about our salvation, doesn't mean that we say thank you to Judas Iscariot, because he was still very evil and wicked for betraying Jesus Christ by selling him for 30 pieces of silver. Just because a man has been used to accomplish God's will does not excuse the person's sinful conduct, as in this case. Don't get it confused. Just as God will use the Antichrist to bring about the end of this world, doesn't mean that God approves of the Antichrist. God wants the best for you and for me, His children. Avoid foolish commitment, which in turn will protect you from foolish conduct. And then finally, another C, the third C, a foolish conclusion. He killed 30 people because he made a foolish riddle out of arrogance. 1 verses 30, and now he killed the men to get their garments, and then gave these garments to the men who expounded the riddle, and then he was so angry that he went to his father's house, leaving his wife behind. He called off the marriage on his own. He went ahead with the marriage against God's will. At the end of 7 days, plus how many days he took to kill 30 men from Ashkelon, gave the garments, and then packed his bag, whatever bag he brought, if any, he left. Left the wife behind. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. And the friend there will probably be called the best man. Not an Israelite, probably one of the Philistines. Would you like to be my best man, as it were? My friend in my wedding. And so, now he realized the wantonness of the wife, who would use tears and sweet words to get what she wanted for fear of her own life. What can you do now? You are married. Foolish commitment resulting in foolish conduct, and now a foolish consequence, a foolish conclusion. What a life. Supposed to be a Nazarite from birth to death. Even before he came out of the mother's womb, the Nazarite vow was imposed upon his mother. He had a bright future ahead of him if only he obeyed. If only he were to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. If only he would listen to the word of God. What a foolish man. Can he turn the clock back and start all over again as if this episode in his life did not occur? No. Those who have been married to an unbeliever against the will of God, how many times you wish you could turn the clock back? How many times? When we did not bring our children up properly, we wish we could turn the clock back. How many times and you wish you could turn the clock back because you have entered into a foolish business commitment? How many times? Can't count, isn't it? How you wish. You have read in the papers of so many characters who have made silly decisions. Right? So many. The latest about this lady who make fun of a man who had a hole in his shirt. Right? Now she had to apologize and apologize and apologize on the internet. Why do you want to do that? Make fun of a man who has a hole in his shirt, and this poor man is the father of somebody. And he was so embarrassed and so humiliated that he wants to quit his job. He's just an assistant in a hawker stall. Why would somebody be so mean and so nasty? Remember this rich man who drive a Porsche? Make fun of people who take MRT? Lost his job? Got threatened? How they wish it never happened. How they wish I did not put that thing up on the internet. How I wish. Please, before you do it, you don't have to say how I wish. Be wise. Don't make wrong, foolish decisions. Foolish commitment, foolish conduct, resulting in foolish consequence. As in this case, three C's for this morning. Please, just because we are Christians, that does not mean that we can do whatever we want and just say, God will protect me, God will protect me. Yes, God will protect you, but God also have given to us the human responsibility to do what is right according to His holy word. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, for the many times, even as your children, we have made foolish decisions and we have done foolish things. Help us, O Lord, from henceforth to be wise as serpents and harmless as dove, to know the evil and the dangers that surround us, and give us a strength of heart and courage not to do them, not to make foolish commitments which will result in foolish conduct, which in turn will bring forth foolish consequences that will hurt and ruin not only our own lives, but the lives of people around us. Be gracious and merciful, O Lord, to protect your people, and grant us the discernment that we need so badly, that we may, according to Holy Scriptures, not fall into the many traps that are before us in this age and in this time. Bless us, keep us, help us. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.